Hey, welcome to And It's Writing, a podcast where two writers have a few drinks and some laughs while we discuss writing and publishing topics. I'm Amy Avery. I write adult fantasy. At the time of this recording, DC will be away for a few episodes. They will be back soon, but in the meantime, I've got some fun guest hosts lined up. Today, I'm going to be talking with Jenny Adams about pivoting genres in publishing. Could you tell us a little more about you and what you write?
Hi, yep. So I'm Jenny Adams. I right now am writing adult historical mysteries, but I started out writing young adult fantasy. And it's been a really interesting journey from what I thought I was always going to write to my debut novel, which is a murder mystery set in the 1920s called A Deadly Endeavor.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the book?
Yeah, so my short version, it's like if you basically took Alexis Rose from Schitt's Creek and Roy Kent from Ted Lasso, and you dropped them into 1920s Philadelphia and had them catch a serial killer while really wanting to kiss each other, that's my book.
That is the best pitch.
Yeah, but it's about a heartbroken socialite who is really trying to find her place in this new modern world, who ends up kind of teaming up with this shell-shocked, widowed coroner when a serial killer is terrorizing Philadelphia, and the lengths they will go to stop him before one of them ends up his next victim.
Yay! Yeah, I can't wait to read it. As of the time we're recording this, it's coming out next week, but by the time this episode posts, it will be out, so please go find it. At the end of the episode, we'll give you some more information about where to find that. But I guess that means we'll go into the topic. You did mention before that you used to write, you said YA fantasy, right? Yeah. And then you said you kind of pivoted to this adult mystery. What were like the reasons behind that? Was it kind of an accident or was it a very strategic choice?
both, actually. So this, what is my debut novel was actually the seventh manuscript that I wrote. And I signed everything else had been young adult fantasy, mostly historical fantasy. I'm a big history nerd. And I really liked focusing on our world and building magic within our world. So pivoting to historical fiction was a total accident. Actually, that happened way later when I wrote the book. When I started writing the book, it was still YA fantasy set in 1920s Philadelphia. And then I wrote a few chapters and I sent it to my agent and she was like, well, this isn't YA. And I said, okay, that's fine. So that was like, so I pivoted. I was like, great, we're going to write an adult fantasy set in 1920s Philadelphia with murder and magic. And there were ghosts and necromancy. And I wrote two drafts of the book that way. We went on submission. And we got a whole lot of, this is delightful, but I have no idea how to sell it and or where it would go on a bookstore. We can't get it past acquisitions. And I ended up getting a revise and resubmit from my now editor who said, I love this, but what if we took out all the magic?
That's a fun edit letter to get.
And I said, at first I was like, no. Inside my brain, I was like, no, but then like I said, this is my seventh manuscript. And to be at this point where it's like someone is seeing something in this story, and we talked it through, we had a call, and her vision really did match with mine in a lot of ways, the exception of this magic. So I agreed to do it. I agreed to try it. And I went through the manuscript and like highlighted all the places where like the ghost appeared, the necromancy. And then I realized there's only like 37 places in the whole book.
It's like, oh, this wasn't as hard as I thought.
And I was like, oh. But then, so I took all that out. And then I really had to learn how to write a mystery, because I was relying a lot on the magic, right? So it was kind of more like an urban fantasy, even though it was historical fantasy, like the magic was really woven, I thought, into the heart of the story. But when I took it out very surgically, turns out I actually wrote a historical mystery completely accidentally. And now I'm a mystery author. But I had to do things like, oh, like write red herrings and kind of to go in, within revisions after the book was sold, my editor very kindly sat me down and was like, these are all the things that are here, and these are all the things that need to happen for it to be history. And we did it together, and it's a mystery now. Yeah, it's I have felt like there's been a lot of imposter syndrome along the way, for sure.
Yeah, it's got to be if you're going into like a new territory to be like, do I know how to do this?
Right? It's like I always thought of myself as a YA writer first. I mean, I'm a school librarian. All the books I was writing before this, I wrote for like my 7th and 8th graders. I was like, these are, and it's like, oh, actually, I'm writing this book that's for grown-ups. That's what I have to keep telling the kids at school. It's like, oh, my book's coming out on Tuesday, but it's a grown-up book.
Yeah, I had to tell my stepdaughter that. She was like, I want to read your book. I'm like, no, you can't. Not this one.
Yeah, and I had to learn a lot about just the genre and how it worked. I mean, I always enjoyed reading mysteries, but I feel like my knowledge was very shallow. And I felt like I've had to play so much catch up in the last year of what else is there? Who am I, who's my work in conversation with? What is happening? And all of and what where who has come before me, right? Like it's like I've done this whole crash course, and it's been really fun too. And mystery writers have been really welcoming, and I've had to like make all new friends. And I still have my YA friends and my fantasy friends. I didn't just be like, oh, peace, guys, dropped you. No, I still have them. But I've made new friends, which has been really nice too.
That's cool. Yeah, I kind of had a little bit of that, not as much because I wasn't pivoting completely to mystery, but there is a mystery element in my debut book. And it was the same thing where I'm like, I read mysteries, why can't I write one? But it's a lot harder to make one.
Figure out like all these clues and to like make yourself sound way smarter than you actually are. And like,
Well, and it's really hard when you know the answer, because you'll be like, this clue is, this red herring is like really obviously a red herring. Or like you'll put a clue in there and you'll be like, is this too blatant or is this too subtle? Or I don't know, because you're not going in with like the eye of someone who doesn't know everything.
right. Yeah. And I, too, like the other hard thing too was like figuring like reworking all of my villains, my killers' motivations too, because in the original version, they were very magic based, and I had to like go back and figure out, well, now that we can't have magic, what is happening?
So, no longer with the magic spell in the library. Now we have to find a weapon.
Yes. And it's funny because I asked my editor too. I was like, so how gross can I get? Right? Like, how gross am I allowed to get? And she's like, well, I don't know. I was like, okay, but like flayed bodies, too gross? She's like, no, do it. That's great. But then I also learned other things too, like apparently unique to the genre that I had no idea. So things can be like gory, but not too gory or excessively violent for a historical mystery. Like, there's like a line between thrillers and mystery where they can be. And then I also learned you can't have, well, you can't, but because you can technically, but like on page sex is a no-go for historical mysteries, which I was shocked by, but that would like disqualify the book from any of the mystery awards.
I didn't know that.
I had no idea. So like I had sex scenes in my book, and my editor was really sweet about it, and she's like, I really think these are beautiful, but I also think they have to go. I was like,
That's a real kill your darlings moment. It's like, no.
yeah, it all worked out.
Those are bonus scenes for your friends.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, I like to say the book kind of lives in the middle, like of the Venn diagram between historical mystery and historical romance. And I just had didn't realize. I guess I just hadn't put it together that what's okay in romance is completely different than what's okay in mystery. And I feel like fantasy and romance, there's more overlap there than, yeah, it's like you just have to learn all these things that I think lots of people spend a really long time learning.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that if you are going to switch genres, whether it's accidentally or deliberately, is to do that research is going to be like really important. And like you said, even if you are a reader of it, you may not realize like you read the books and they don't have the sex scenes, but you don't realize that they're not really allowed. You're just like, oh, the ones I read didn't.
Right. I was like, oh, well, that totally makes sense why, Veronica Speedwell is not, why she's writing them as her diaries. So like that makes sense to me, right? And I was like, oh wait, no, this is a mark of the genre that I just didn't realize. So I had to do a lot of reading. I mean, I think I've read more mysteries in the last year than probably the last 10 years of my life, put together. I've been just immersing myself, and part of that is like I want to be good at it, right? And I want to make sure that I'm delivering on the promises that this book is making to my readers. But it definitely feels like I'm starting from like behind.
Yeah, I was gonna say I do see different genre, but I see this a lot of the people who like want to write romance but fix it, quote unquote, and they don't realize that that's like a genre where the conventions exist for a reason, and readers are not going to be very happy with you.
If you kill off one of the characters, right?
Yeah, I've
No, and I agree. And I have such a respect for the genre. And I think that's part of it too. If you are going to be switching and writing something totally new, like you have to go in and realize you're not the first person to do this, right? Like you have to see what's there, what's happening, and make yourself a part of the conversation. But like you can't dominate that conversation because you don't know anything yet.
Yeah.
So,
And you can write anything, but it's a matter of knowing where it goes in the bookstore. Like you said, if you'd gotten gorier and darker, then you start heading into that thriller space. It exists, it just doesn't fit into that niche because bookstores need a place to put things.
and apparently a paranormal historical romance murder mystery was not a thing that anyone could put on a shelf and sell.
That's just too many.
Too many things. I told
You can.
my agent, I was like, from now on, I'm writing one genre.
Yeah, one.
Right. We're gonna like, just narrow it down, at least just to get yourself through that door.
Yeah. So do you think you're going to stick with more mysteries or more historicals, or do you think you're going to branch back into fantasy or YA? Do you know?
Well, right now I'm contracted for the second book in the series.
No, oh, okay. So it is a series.
It's going to be a series. Yeah, the second book. We don't have a title yet, but the series is called The Deadly 20 Mysteries. And I'm hoping there'll be more than two. So I will be busy with Edie and Gil for quite a while, which I love
Yay.
because I love them. And at the heart of the series is their romance arc. Like that, there it's a romance with like episodic mysteries kind of sprinkled through. And I'm really excited. I have a third book planned with them. I also want to go back to my fantasy roots. I've been tinkering with something I haven't shown anybody yet. That is definitely a fantasy that is inspired by my family is Basque, from like the south of France and the north of Spain. So it's inspired by some Basque folklore. Yeah, and so that's like feels super ambitious and like really far away, but that's like my for fun project that I'm working on in between these mysteries. Just I love magic. I love writing fantasy. But in a lot of ways, I've learned historical fiction is a lot like writing fantasy. Like the amount of world building that has to go into things is I'm gl so glad I wrote those six fantasy novels because when it came time to write a historical mystery, all those world building skills, I'd worked really hard on them. And one of the things that like people have been saying, which has been so wonderful, is like the setting's so vibrant and like you feel like you're really in Jazz Age Philadelphia. And it's like that is something I worked really hard on with a lot of books.
It is interesting how the skills cross over, yeah. You were talking about how the next project is more ambitious, and I do think it's funny that we all or many of us seem to fall into this where you write the one book and you're like, okay, the next book I'm going to do this, but I'm going to do this thing that I always kind of wanted to do. I'm going to stretch myself and I'm going to try it. And then inevitably you start getting into it and you're like, uh-oh.
Yeah, well, and you think too by the time you're working on like book eight that you're like, oh yeah, I got this. I know exactly what I'm doing. I thought stupidly this like book that I'm writing on contract right now, the second book in the series, I was like, oh, this will be a breeze. I know these characters. I love these characters. I know how to write a mystery now. I was like, I know that I'm writing a mystery. It can't be, you know, I've got this. It is the hardest thing I have ever written. And I think it's because we get better, right, with every single book. And we know that we've gotten better with every single book, and we know how much better we can still get. And we like see these like spots, like 30,000 words, which is where I am right now.
That's my killer spot. That's where I start to have problems. That's where I start to be like, I don't know what I'm doing. This book is terrible. I don't know. Where do I go from here? It's always between 25 and 30,000 words.
Yes. That is exactly it. That's the spot I tell my husband every time. I'm like, throw my laptop into the sea. Like, I am never writing again, except this time I have a contract. So I have to.
There is no option.
There's no option. I got to keep going.
The other thing I found with writing sequels that is a challenge that is unique to sequels is the at the beginning, how much do I like recap and how much do I not? Because some of your readers are going to be picking up your backlist later and like binging it. And some of your readers are going to read your first book now and then read the other one when it comes out and might need a little refresher. And balancing that is like super hard.
Well, and I realized that specifically when I shared the opening scene for my second book, like with my writing group, and didn't realize that one person in there has not actually read A Deadly Endeavor. And I like revealed who the killer was, like in the first chapter of the second book, and the person was like, guess we should really read the first one first, huh? And I was like, oh no, like how do I balance that, right? Like how do I talk about that this first book, which is very like the things that happened in it really impact the characters, right? Like it's so important to them, but exactly how do I balance that with like readers who are picking up this second mystery not even knowing maybe that there was one before it.
Especially in mystery series, that's pretty common because I've done that with mystery series where, especially the ones that have a gajillion books, and there'll be like the same characters and maybe like a little bit of a continuity arc, like you said, kind of that romance arc or something similar, but the mysteries are all, individual. And I'll pick up like book five and be like, oh, okay, I'm just going to pick it up here. So
Right.
it is pretty possible that someone would do that.
Yeah, and I like again, this is me, accidental mystery writer, not even thinking about that. And now I have to think about it. So it's learning. It's every day. It's like, oh, I'm just gonna throw myself right into this and be a baby writer all over again.
I think the key is to like be willing to be a baby writer all over again if you're going to try to switch and do something you haven't done before, and just know that, you figured out the first thing, you will figure out the next thing.
Right. And I think just like the big key is having that respect, like we talked about before, for the genre that you're stepping into. And know that there are also going to be people you can ask, right? Like may go and make new friends and see who's out there and see who's doing the thing. I joined Sisters in Crime, which is an organization for mystery writers. It's not just women, it's all sorts of folks. And they have an online chapter called the Guppies, and they have been the most welcoming group of people. And there's like a listserv, and I've just asked like the most basic questions, and I get all of these people emailing me answers and being so generous with their time and their expertise and so supportive. And it's been really wonderful to be like welcomed into this community. So Sisters in Crime is a great resource for anybody who's thinking about writing crime fiction of any kind, mystery, thriller, suspense. And they have local chapters too. I haven't joined my local chapter, because they require a paper check to be mailed to them.
We don't need those anymore. We're
No,
fine.
but the online chapter has been great. So that's something I would definitely recommend to anyone who's thinking about a mystery maybe for the first time, is checking out what sort of organizations are out there to help.
I think that holds true no matter what like genre you're trying to pivot into, is there's welcoming communities all through. If there's one thing writers like, we like talking about writing with each other, as evidenced by the fact that there's a podcast, and a billion podcasts, of which we are just one. That, like you said, don't abandon your old communities.
Right, no, keep them.
But seeking out a new community and resources is a good way to kind of, yeah, respect the genre, read the genre. If you haven't before, do it now. And
Do
then,
it.
yeah, seeking out people, I think, are kind of the key elements. So, yeah, are there any other kind of final thoughts you had on the topic?
I just think it's like be willing to take a chance and be willing to say yes, right? I took this class recently that said like there are infinite versions of your story, right? And every draft is just one version that is there. And that really resonated with me because of the experience on this R&R and how far, a Deadly Endeavor is from the initial book I set out to write. And I think just letting yourself be open to trying something new and pushing yourself can lead to really amazing things. So don't be afraid to try a new genre. Like that, see what happens. It could be awesome.
Yes, I like that. That's a good final thought. So, okay, so just kind of to wrap up, let us know where listeners can find you online, website, socials, etc., and remind everybody about the title, although we've been talking about the book, but just remind everybody about the book so we have one final reminder.
So, A Deadly Endeavor comes out March 5th from Crooked Lane Books. It is available wherever you buy your books. And you can find me online at J Adams Writes on Twitter, Instagram, Threads, and TikTok. And my website is jenny-adams.com.
Okay, and we will put all of those links in the show notes once we get everything posted. So I think that's about it. And thanks everybody for joining us. Thank you for joining me. It was a really fun conversation.
Thank you, Avery. This was great.
And we will see everybody again soon.
Right.
Bye.
Bye.